I hear lake waters. Letting you let the show. Okay, well, anyhow, what do we have here? We have Cousin Rick calling out from Needham, Massachusetts, and with Rick's Talk. And hello, Rick, how are you?
Good morning, RT.
Hey, how are you?
I am fine. I see you had Freddie Fender.
Yes, Freddie Fender.
Right. And seeing as we do the ride of the week, that's kind of like an automotive segue,
very nice.
A dad joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's somebody called Tommy Trunk or Harry Hood.
Yeah, there might be. I don't know. Well, and as I said, it's going to be hot as hell today, 90-60 degrees in Santa Rosa. So it could be cooling the rest of the day here.
Yeah. We are in the high 70s with a sunny day and lots of pine tree pollen filling the air with it's actually in clouds. You see it every once in a while. You see a cloud. It looks like fog, but it's pine tree pollen.
Wow. That's must be rough for people who are having...
Yeah, we have to keep washing the car if it's outside.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's something have the ride of the week, and we have, like, some a theme here. It's a... Oh.
Bronco.
Yes, there it is.
Bronco, tearing across the Texas plain. Bronco.
Yes,
Bronco.
Texas is where he's doing there. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Bronco.
Yeah, Bronco.
And, yeah, we have another Bronco, a Bronco Sport. Uh-huh. And we've had a few of these vehicles over the years, and everybody loves the Bronco. It's an interesting alternative to the Jeep, and I think Ford was smart in tapping into that market. And let's get into what we have. It's unique. It definitely is unique. Okay, it's the 2024 Bronco Sport Freewheeling Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you the specs first, then we can talk about some of the really, really unique features of this. It's got a 1.5-liter EcoBoost engine. It's a three-cylinder engine, but it puts out 181 horsepower because it's turbocharged and has an 8-speed automatic transmission. And that gives you EPA numbers of 25 miles per gallon city, 29 highway, for a combined number of 26. But that being said, you can select the drive mode on this Bronco Sport. You have normal, you have eco, which is more efficient in acceleration. You have the sport mode, which gives you a little more acceleration, and you have modes for slippery conditions or driving on sand. Now, I put this thing in the eco mode, and I was getting up to 34 miles to the gallon, and that's around town too. And part of the reason for that is it has active grille shutters, which close off to make the vehicle more aerodynamic. It also has start-stop technology, so if you stop at a light, it'll shut the engine off. So I was getting a respectable mileage for a fairly large vehicle, around 34 miles per gallon. Now, also, the Bronco Sport is 5-star safety rating. So that's a real plus there on any vehicle that can give you that kind of safety. And let's see, some of the other features that we have on that. It has a 6-speaker stereo system. And it has USB A and C ports. And the freewheeling package gives you what they call freewheeling graphics on the vehicle. And we also have ebony red painted wheels, wheel accents. And the total price for this was just under $37,695. Now, when I say freewheeling, what do you think of?
I'm not sure. I got a call off-road. I don't know.
Well, no, that when I heard the word freewheeling, I think of Bob Dylan's album, Freewheeling.
Okay. Yeah, right.
You know, where he's on walking through the slushy street of Greenwich Village with his girlfriend and they're laughing. And there's a Volkswagen microbus in the background.
Right.
And then there was also Saab had a freewheeling feature way back when that would disconnect the engine from the transmission, so you'd have no engine braking, but it would, you'd really fly along once you let on the gas without engine braking, and that was to increase mileage. But getting back to the vehicle at hand, the freewheeling package, back in the 70s, Ford had some of their trucks and the Broncos back then with freewheeling graphics on it. Now, this was a graphic package on the side. It was stripes. You had a dark red stripe on top, a lighter red, then dark orange, lighter orange, and yellow going down from the top to the bottom. And Ford has revived that freewheeling package for the Bronco Sport. It's supposed to evoke a sunset, you know, from the red to the yellow on the side.
Right.
Okay. Now, this graphics package, it's on the side of the vehicle. It's applied as decals. You have stripes applied as decals and on the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the red accent wheels. And inside you have stitching of the same colors on the seat. And you have stripes on the seat back that go across. So it's a very distinct package. Now, I've seen various Ford Broncos sports with this stripe package. And in some of the colors, like red or green, it really looks great. You know, it evokes the 70s, but it's on a new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bronco has the body color and then a black roof. So that looks kind of nice. But the vehicle they brought to me was white with a black roof. So I look out the window in my office up here, and I look out and I say, what is that? It looked like it came from KFC or something because of the striping on the white. And then it sort of struck me. The colors evoked the 70s. And remember the Caldor discount store chain? It kind of looks like those colors.
Right.
And then you know, you have the stripes and you have the thin body color in between the stripes, which is white. And I don't think it's as effective as the darker colors. On those, it looks good. On this, it gets a lot of reaction. You get a lot of attention. People look at you with it. And you know, it's a striking package, although on the white version, it's, you know, it gets a lot of reaction one way or the other. And I think the other colors look, for me, my personal taste, the other colors look better with this package.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had one really negative comment saying this looked like the clown car. But, you know, let's face it, you know, Ford's done a, you know, it's a striking deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was going to get one, I'd get the, like a green with this package, not the white, but
the
green.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, you know, when we spend this much time talking about a vehicle, you know that you've got a lot of attention.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so that's the ride of the week.
Right, the Ford Bronco Sport Freewheeling Edition.
All right, freewheeling. Okay, well, what else do you have automotive today?
Okay, yep. Our friends at iccars.com have come up with another study. And this is a study that shows that it's kind of a, you know, I wouldn't say superficial, it's a lighthearted study, that over the last 20 years, grayscale colors have predominated and grown in popularity over other colors. And so it's kind of like saying, tell me something I don't know, that over the last 20 years, the grayscale colors of white, black, gray, and silver have gone from 63% of the vehicles to 80% of the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But within that number, silver has actually dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And so white was 15% of vehicles back in 2004. Now it's 28% of vehicles, so it's mm-hmm. gone up by 77%. And silver, which used to be 19% of the vehicles back then, has dropped to only 9% of the vehicles. Mm-hmm. It's dropped by 50%. And then if you get into some of the other colors, like green has gone from 4% to 2%, but actually it's come back in the last couple of years. Then you have colors like orange, beige, brown, and gold, and those are down in the mud. They've gone from, like, gold has gone from 4% to 0.1%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting numbers there.
Yeah. Why are people poor? Why do people make such a boring colors? That's my question.
Well, I think, part of it, you might say, like, fleet buyers have gone a lot of white because it's easy to maintain. I don't think it shows the dirt as much and so on. So that could be part of the factor.
Right.
Maybe we've just become more mediocre in our taste for colors in the cars. And remember in the 70s, they had all kinds of colors. And,
right.
Yeah. So let's face it, Ford's got that Bronco freewheeling, so they're back with being colorful.
All right. Good for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, let's see. What else do you have today?
Okay. Actually, we had some big news today that happened today.
Oh, okay.
Right. Over the weekend, Sunday, the Chinese Chang'e 6 moon probe landed on the far side of the moon near the South Pole.
Yes.
And this morning, it lifted off with roughly 2 pounds of lunar material from the far side.
Wow.
And they had a drill on there that they said could go down to sample maybe 6 feet down, and they also scraped samples from the surface material. And so this is on the way back. Now that's it's quite an achievement to land on the moon on the far side,
right?
Because you have to have a relay satellite relaying communications, because there's no direct line of sight communications with the control center on Earth.
Right.
And then now they're taking that vehicle, returning samples, and bringing them back to the Earth. And it's due to return on a low energy trajectory on March 25th. Not March, June 25th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hats off to them. That's quite a feat.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think. Yeah, and that's a lot of rock coming back, 2 pounds. It's not just scraping it with a little, scoop shovel there.
Right, right. Okay. Mm. Well, what else do you have for today?
Okay, now, everybody likes to see in the dark, or... This comes from the Australian Center for Optics, mm-hmm. if I have the name right here. But they've come up with a night vision glasses that, many times you'll see night vision goggles that the military use. And so essentially it's like you have a small TV camera on the front of your, and a headset, because what they do is they take infrared light, convert it to electrons, then project it on a screen in front of your eyes to mm-hmm. give you night vision. But what they've come up with at the Australian optics research people is to come up with a thin film that you could have activated with some kind of laser power. And it looks like a pair of glasses. Mm. And it takes the infrared light, increases the energy of the photons to make them visible, so you don't convert photons into electrons and then back to photons as in current night vision goggles. You go directly, you just boost these photons, the power.
Hmm.
And so, they're working on this to make it maybe commercially available, but that'd be kind of cool for, you know, you want to walk at night and you want to feel safe and, you know, you walk the dog and the dog gets away. This way you can see where the dog is. Unless you got a light on your dog, you know, like my brother does. He's got a little beacon on his dog that we know where the dog is all the time. Yes.
Okay.
So we'll mention Oliver the dog here with his beacon. He's a good fellow.
It's a good boy. Okay, well, what else do you have for today?
Well, that's a wrap.
Oh, that's a wrap. Okay.
Yes, I was so going about the Bronco, I didn't think we need much more. Glad we could get together.
All right. Well, that was Cousin Rick calling from Needham, Massachusetts with Rick's Tech Talk, a regular feature of the Utopian Dream.